Our scripture today, sorry for the small print there, I'll read it to you, of course, is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, again to 33. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this time to read your word with one another, this time that we can rejoice that you share with us your wisdom and your mercy. We pray to you, Lord, that as this word is read, our hearts and minds are open to receive this glorious gift. We also pray for your mercy upon the explanation of the word, that it too might be covered by your grace and used for your glory, that your light might shine through it. We thank you for all that you are, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Check the time here real quick. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Hear now God's word. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they are? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your lifespan? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So one of the things that I loved growing up, just absolutely, I looked forward to it every 4 years. And no, it wasn't presidential elections. It was the Olympics. I love the Olympics, especially when the Olympics were 1 year long. You know, you got your Winter Olympics and then your Summer Olympics. Absolutely adored that. And watching those men and women do the things that they're so passionate and so good at doing was a treat. The bobsledding team, the skiers, the ski jumps are pretty awesome too, but the ones where they jump up and they do the flips and then those are amazing. And what's been good over the years is watching the events grow into so many crazy stuff. You know that trampolining is a summer sport. And if you ever laugh or chuckle at trampolining, you know, Google it. My God, those people they're out of this world. I mean, the height that they bounce and the twists and the turns, I mean, it's mind-boggling. Speed climbing was something we did as kids in the trees. See how quickly we get to the top? They'd have like 50, 60-foot climbing routes. Seconds. It takes seconds to get from the bottom to the top. They look like Spider-Man or Spider-Woman. I mean, it's amazing what they can do. Now, if I were to add an Olympic sport that I could be a part of, worrying would be that Olympic sport. I practice all the time. I am so dedicated at this Olympic sport that I even sacrifice my sleep for it. Laying in bed, thinking about everything that's going on in life, man, I could kill 2, 3, 4 hours easily with things like that. I'm good. But also I know that I got some competition out there, that I am not alone in how good I am. In fact, I think that partially to blame, You know, we're human beings, so we love blaming other things. So partially to blame is this culture that we live in. For some reason, it has put worrying on kind of like a positive spectrum of life. Like, if you don't worry about things, you don't care about things. You know, that's kind of how worrying is labeled. And it is such a sad thing. I was with a bunch of pastors. When you get pastors together, it doesn't happen quite so much now. It still does, but not as much as it did. We would brag about how much we worry about things and how much work we have. And we would brag about all the things in our life that are going to pot because of the work that we have. And we would wear it like a badge. You know, someone would say, boy, I had so much work last week, I probably put in 90 hours. Wow, 90 hours of work last week. Well done. I missed my son's graduation because I had a funeral. Oh, you missed your son's graduation because you had a funeral. That's nothing. I miss all my children's birthday because I had meetings. You know, and on and on and on, because we worry about so much that those things in our lives that are important are pushed to the side. That we stop living because of the worrying and the anxiety that just builds up within us. And the thing is that it becomes a part of who we are. And if we don't worry, how then do we define ourselves? This scripture that we just read is a challenge to so many of us and to my life, because it very clearly says, don't worry. Don't worry about these things, that God will take care of you. I think the thing is, and the reason that we worry so much and that we care about worrying so much, is because worrying feels like control. That we feel like we don't have control in our lives or so many things, at least I can worry about it. At least I can feel like I'm doing something productive by caring about, and we mix those words up falsely, caring about this or caring about that. And that if we don't worry about it, then what do we have to do at that point? The scripture for us is so challenging, because what it requires us to do, that if we're not worrying about the things that are happening or going to happen, then what we have to do is pay attention to the things that are happening now. Not worrying about tomorrow or the day after, but putting all of our attention on this moment. I read part of a book, and in this book it talks about the uncarved block. Anyone's familiar with the uncarved block idea? The uncarved block. Now, this also, I think, is an American thing, but it could just be a person thing, a human thing. If you're an artist, or you're someone who overly worries about things, when you look at stuff, the value that that thing gives you is oftentimes merely in its potential. The uncarved block, for example. When a sculptor looks at an uncarved block, or a woodworker looks at a block of wood, or an ice carver looks at a block of ice, the value of that thing that they're looking at is in its potential. What they can make out of it. Michelangelo? Who did David? Statue of David. Michelangelo? Anyway, I'll Google it later. He would look at a stone marble, block of marble, and he would say that the statue is just waiting to get at, and that was his job was to free it. You know, it's already there, and he just had to let it free. Another example from a more worrying side, is that when I go to a new house and I look at the yard, I don't just see the yard, but I see all the mowing I'm going to have to do in that yard. When I look at trees, I just don't see the trees. I see all the leaves I'm going to have to pick up come fall. And we do this with a lot of things. We don't just see a job. We see all the work that this job is going to have to do. We just don't see a volunteer position, but we see everything that could possibly go wrong within this volunteer position, we don't just see a used car, but we see the potential for bad things to happen in that used car. The uncarved block, the idea of the uncarved block, is to not value the block for its potential, but to value the block for what it is. For seeing the block in that moment and saying it is beautiful. For seeing the tree and not seeing the leaves we need to pick up, but seeing what is there, a house for squirrels, a place for shade, or if it's in the winter, the beauty of the bare limbs. We do this with people, and we do this with children. Sometimes when we see kids running around, we value them for their potential. Sit down, be quiet. You know, when you grow up, you're going to be this, this, or that. Or I hope that you're a good addition to society. Instead of valuing them for who they are in that very moment, we worry about who they will be. Same with people. The value for people is what they can do for us instead of who they are. When Jesus tells us to not worry about things and to only focus on what's going on today, the challenge is much, much deeper than what we first see it as. I saw a painting from, I don't even know when, 1400s maybe. It was of three Chinamen who are tasting a vat of vinegar. You can look at it. It's three Chinamen tasting vinegar. I mean, that's the title of the thing. And one Chinaman's face is bitter, and the other one is sour, and the other one is smiling. And it's an allegory that when the vinegar is life, because life doesn't always taste good. And sometimes we can taste life and have this bitter or sour taste, but the smile is a recognition that even the difficult things, the bad things, the awful things, that we're able to survive and get through and experience, that if we appreciate it for that moment, we realize that these moments are even giving positive things for us. And through Jesus Christ, that truth in that matter is all the greater. No matter what it is that we go through, no matter the difficulties that exist, there are opportunities for God's love to shine forth. How many times in my life growing up, because my parents, we weren't rich by any means. We were quite poor. And every day our meal would be macaroni and cheese, applesauce, and hot dogs. And we would try, and to this day, I enjoy mixing, cutting up my hot dog, putting it in my mac and cheese, and mixing the applesauce inside. We hated it in those moments, but if only I would have enjoyed those moments. Whereas I can enjoy them today as I look back. And seeing that God provided for us. We had food. We had one another. We had clothing on our bodies. God does provide for us. And when we let go of that worry and that care, knowing that God will provide for us, then we can focus on those things that God wants us to. We can focus on them and understand that God helps us even through these. And we can see the love of God in this moment, just to letting tomorrow come when it does. It's a tough thing, but through the Holy Spirit, He helps us through. And we praise God for that. I want to close with this reading of this scripture. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Happy Thanksgiving, and have a blessed week. Amen and amen.